It's Tuesday night, Jaguars fans. The Jack Del Rio show is on the air.
Boy, I don't know. I think he got a punt in here.
He's not going to. They'll call him Gambling Jack for nothing. Maurice is over the right side. He's got it.
Wow. Talk about a sigh of relief. I mean, holy cow, you're on the 36-and-a-half.
Yes.
And going for it on fourth down. Wow.
That nickname, Gambling Jack.
That's deserved.
The Jack Del Rio show on the Jacksonville Jaguars radio network is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening. Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. I'm Brian Sexton. Joe Fortunato is along. We anticipate the coach joining us at some point over the course of the next 54 minutes or so. Talk about the 2-6 Jaguars, where they're headed in the second half of the season, what they hope to accomplish during the bye week, and obviously the rules of the bye week have changed now with a new collective bargaining agreement. So you can join us, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Here's the head coach now. Hello, Jack. How are you?
Good evening, boys.
Nice to see you, Coach. Before we get started, a week from today, J.D. Byrider invites you to their dealership at 8864 Atlantic Boulevard to have cookies with the Jaguars rookies. They'll be there from noon till 2, signing autographs and sharing cookies with you. So here we go. Bye week. What say you, Coach, as you head into this week with a short time with your team, really? This is kind of a different playing field than you've had before in the bye week, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little different in terms of what's laid out with the collective bargaining agreement, the league rules. And so we'll abide by them. But
which is what? You practice today and tomorrow? Or?
Yeah, you get today, tomorrow, get then you get a four-day weekend, and then get an extra day next Monday. Take Tuesday as a normal, you know, day off. Guys are out in the community and whatnot, and then
sure.
A typical game week starting
just
Wednesday.
Get it going again.
Yep.
So for the players, it's an opportunity to get healthy, get a little time away with their family, clear their head, get focused. I mean, all of those things.
Yeah, breathe, exhale.
Yeah. Right.
Relax.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you could say that.
We've got to do something to turn the page. And
is your defense playing well enough that you, if 2 touchdowns, 3 a game would be enough? I mean, are we talking about having to take a gigantic step forward to get where you need to be? Or can a small step maybe?
Well, I'll take a small step first.
Right.
You know,
well, I guess you got to have that before you take a big step.
Yeah, right now, you know, it's just a matter of taking advantage of some of these opportunities. We've fought hard as a football team. We've been close, and you know, close just doesn't work. No cigar.
You know, Tony Robbins, the motivational speaker, has a saying. He says, you know, the biggest changes come with 2 millimeters. You know, I mean, you don't have to turn that thing, you know, complete 360 degrees or loosen it. Sometimes just a little change makes a big, big difference.
Right.
So what little change could make a big difference for the offense as you look
just a spark,
at where they are?
Just a spark and a rhythm. That's what we need, spark and a rhythm. I just got done, in fact, for our show, which we're going to film that segment tonight, I just pulled out some throws from the first half of the year with Blaine.
Right.
And like, you know, wow. When you're done looking at it, you're going, wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, just start seeing that a little more often and we'll say wow a little more often.
Well, and, you know, the funny thing is that everybody wants to pick him apart. And I think you said it in the postgame on Sunday. The coach, the quarterback, they're going to get too much of everything at some point over the course of their career. Everyone wants to look at him and say, well, he's ducking, he's not going through, he's not standing tall in the pocket. Do you see any of that? Because I see a guy that took a big hit and came back in the game.
Yeah.
Had his ribs wrapped and, you know, got his senses back at bottom and missed 3 snaps.
Yeah, show me the quarterback that gets hit and does those things and doesn't move. This doesn't happen. Yeah. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, any of them, doesn't matter who. Okay, that's part of playing the position. You're going to get knocked around some. You're going to move out of the way of some of those big guys that are trying to knock you around. Is that a problem? No, I don't think it's a problem.
Okay.
I think the kid's plenty tough. And
Did they look at the hit that he took?
Yeah, no, I just, you know, look, people ask, you know, stupid things because they don't know how to handle their frustration. I'm going to stop calling him young because he said, great, because I hate hearing it. I said, super. All right, so we got an accord there because you've already had plenty of time in our system, you know, the first half of this season. And when we come out of this bye, we're expecting a veteran performance, you know, expect you to play even better. And he say, I'm all for it. So let's go.
He is a guy. You like his approach to preparation.
Yes.
He is a guy. I mean, I can remember after the Saints game, Jeff and Tony in here on a Wednesday night saying his footwork's got to get better. And then the next week after the Bengals game, they said, yeah, it was better.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see that from week to week he took the coaching and applied it and got better.
Yes.
So what two or three things, if just, even that many, do you send him into the bye week saying you got to get better at this?
Well, just continue. It's all of it. It's not any one thing.
You can't.
It's just play better. Just, you know, play better around him. Play as a team, play better. Make some of the plays that make the difference. You know, a ball that gets tipped ends up being intercepted. You know, that's going to happen.
Right.
You know, sometimes the ball just doesn't bounce your way. You know, it is an unusually shaped ball. You know what I mean? Doesn't
thought bounce. About it like that. It seems normal to me. But yeah, you're right.
No, it's not shaped.
Round.
It's not
right.
Shaped like a basketball.
It's
sometimes that doggone thing just doesn't bounce the way you want it to. Okay.
Right.
So, what are you going to sit around and cry? You're going to feel sorry for yourself? No. Go to the next one. Well, and that's where we are right now.
You know, there's a point where, for every team as it goes through its stages of development, where the light just turns on. I don't know whether you want to say chemistry or the ball bounces the right way or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the one thing we haven't really seen. You know,
that's right.
The ball gone off Mercedes' hands here, gone into Brian Cushing's hands there. We just haven't seen that spark, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
You can't really like that. You just, you come upon it, don't you?
Yeah, well, I'm looking to light it.
Well, yeah,
looking for some flint right now.
I know, but I mean, I go back to a field goal in 1996 here that hit the upright and bounced in Baltimore.
Yeah.
That started that spark that took them all the way to the AFC title game. It wasn't as if they said, "All right, now look, you hit the crossbar, and we'll all think this is a dramatic win. Here we go."
Right.
It was one of those things you kind of stumble upon. And when I say stumble, I mean you keep working, and then all of a sudden, oh, that's what it is.
Eventually,
let's go.
Eventually, you reach the tipping point.
Yeah, that tipping point's a great way to describe it.
Yeah, eventually, you know, and look, I happen to be – I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
So am I.
I believed that we would get our defense turned around. I believe that you're going to see our offense be much, much stronger in the second half of this season. And I think you're going to see this football team round into shape as we come through this bye and get going here in the second half.
Well, if you watch them against the Steelers, the Ravens, the Texans, you saw, I'm not talking about fight and grit and any of that, you saw talent.
Well, you saw all of that, and look, we know as a football team we're still scratching the surface.
Right.
And so, you know, if anything, I want our guys to basically take a deep breath, all right? Learn from what happened the first half of the year. Come back and take it one play at a time, one game at a time, second half of the year, and let's see what happens.
All right, folks, we need a break. We'll take it now. When we return, your calls, questions, and comments at 800-355-NFL1 or 633-6351. Back after this on the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, Sonny's, you can text BBQ to 72239 and enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You could hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. Guests finding their way into the studio for some of that Sea Best seafood. Smells good.
Tim Walsh.
Yeah, I wasn't going to roll him out. Did he take a lot?
No, he didn't take surprisingly a small amount. But he's
being
faithful.
A Notre Dame guy, he scares kind of easy.
He's faithful, though.
In what?
Well, in that if there's food around, he'll be there, faithfully be there.
Yeah. Well, if there's anybody else in the building with the radio on, come to the studio. There is plenty of good Sea Best seafood for you. All right, your defense was out in the community today. Bye week and all, doesn't stop them. They made a trip to the hospital. Tell us about it.
They did. Yeah, no, they Coach Tucker helped organize it. You know, we last year's group had a little bit of a fine system in place, you know, kind of amongst themselves for when you wouldn't have your coin to tap in. You know, you have a coin that basically is a defensive coin, and
right.
So you had to tap into every meeting. So if you didn't, you know, whenever somebody would tap it, you had to have, if you didn't have, it's $20 into the pot.
Okay.
And so said, okay, at the end of the year, we'll do something for charity. Well, that money had been sitting there, so Coach Tucker, I said, hey, we've got to do something with this money. How about, you know, getting some gifts and heading over and putting it to good use at visiting a hospital.
Sure.
And some kids. And so the defense did that today. I mean, they got the workout. We got our practice in today and got a little weightlifting and all that in and meetings. And then after that, they took off and went over there. And I heard they did awesome. I heard it was a good time.
Yeah, those guys are out and about. And, you know, can you put an effect?
Well, before you go, Coach Tucker said that Clint Session attacked that thing just like he does, just like he attacked Schaub on Sunday.
What do you mean? Taking the money and organizing it? Or?
No, the way he just went in there with energy. Yeah. I mean, just really lit it up.
So. We had him on All Access last night. It was the first time I got to spend quality time around him. He's a great kid.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say kid, he's a man. But, I mean, a guy with a lot of energy and a lot of personality.
He does have personality.
And it's great to see him playing well the last couple of weeks, really starting to get into the flow of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Loggy kept saying it helps that the opponent has played a lot of base, which has allowed him to stay on the field more.
Sure, yep. Sure, that's right.
But he strikes. I mean, he brings it.
He does. He plays a lot of energy.
Hard and heavy. Can you put a quantifiable effect? Can you tell us what it meant for Brad to have the interaction with Luke Ackerstrom? I saw Rick Riley's story when ESPN was the local people did a great job with it as well. He did a particularly good job with the story.
I didn't get to see that.
It's up on ESPN.com. You can see it if you Google it. Anyway. You could tell that it made an impact on Brad. You know, for your players to go over and have this kind of interaction with someone. What do you see when they come back here?
What typically happens, you head over and you're like, all right, I'm going to do this. And you feel like you're giving.
Yeah.
And then you get over there and you realize you meet these youngsters and you're the one that's getting. I mean, they energize you. I mean, these kids are unbelievable. And how they react and respond to you making an effort and a gesture, they give you back tenfold what you think you're giving. Right. And it's unique. I mean, you know, what Brad did for an example for some of our younger players to understand it's, you know, giving of yourself to something greater than yourself, I think that's awesome. I think it goes a long way.
It was Session who last night on the television show started talking about chemistry. As we were asking him, you know, what is it about this defense that since the second half of the Steelers game really has played very well every play? He said chemistry. It's taken some time. He said we didn't even get here until the second week of August, and then all of a sudden, you know, we had to figure it out. And he used that word chemistry with the defense. When you watch the tape, do you see a defense that's playing with that? I mean, it's such an obtuse word, I know.
No,
but he used it.
Yeah, I think it's...
Like going to the hospital create it.
Sure. I think it is building. I think it will continue to increase. I don't think it's like something like you instantly have. I think it's something that is created over time with effort and energy and togetherness and respect, trust. All those things start to build, and then you get something, and it becomes greater than the sum of the parts. It really does.
Well, and you know, when you look at the Ravens, for instance, I mean, they've got it's a culture with them now.
Yep.
I mean, it's more than just chemistry because Ray Lewis has been building it all those years. When you step into their meeting room, I can only imagine there's that standard that's been set. You know,
When we first got there in '99, they had a collection of individuals. Great individuals.
Oh, yeah. They had drafted well.
And they learned how to become a unit because a collection of great individuals doesn't get it done. So there's something extra that goes into it, and that's where the people talk about chemistry. It's a way of talking about the passion, the commitment, the trust, the love, the energy that you give every day. Those things, they all add up. They all add up to something special, and it's something you can almost feel, you know, when it's there.
Yeah, and the communication side of it. I mean, it's playing without speaking sometimes, knowing what the guy next to you is going to do, and probably because he's been there as long as almost everybody. As anybody, is Daryl Smith is the guy that everyone points to as being that guy who, around which, I mean, Rasheen's been there a little bit longer than him, but Daryl's that guy that everyone points to.
Sure.
He kind of sets the tempo.
Yeah, he does. Daryl's a quiet leader, but very forceful, a very smart player. So talk about somebody that's on top of his assignment, understands what everybody does within the defense. That's Daryl.
All right, folks, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Jaguars' defense. We'll take your calls, talk about the offense also. Hey, if you're the parent or guardian of a daughter, 6 to 17, stop by your local Bell store and register her to become a member of the Junior Roar. She'll perform at halftime during the Jaguars-Bucks game on December 11th. Registration ends this weekend, November the 6th. For official rules, visit your nearby Bell store. This break, then more with the head coach after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. How's your pass rush? You have more sacks than you did at this point last year. I think you have at least two in the last five games. Sacks notwithstanding, do you like the pressure that you're putting on quarterbacks? And the reason I ask, Coach, you haven't had a quarterback hit the 100 quarterback efficiency rating against you yet. And only two have gone over 90. So is your pass rush impacting quarterbacks like you'd like them to?
Yes, it all goes hand in hand, and yes. And, you know, I would say if you went back and looked at the Carolina game and looked at the number of sacks we had there, huge number, zero.
Yeah.
Okay, I saw it today. And it just reminded me.
I was going
me,
huge. Oh, wait, I missed that one.
No, we had our arms draped around Cam Newton that day, and we never sacked him. We had countless opportunities, okay? But we did pressure him into throwing us the ball for a potential six interceptions.
Right.
Okay, so now we didn't catch them all, all right? So for us defensively to go to the next level of just becoming a real dominant unit, you've got to make those plays. You've got to have that day where the quarterback, you know, throws five or six picks against you or gets sacked, you know, 9 or 10 times. Those types of things, when you have those numbers, when you add them up at the end of the year and you have those kind of days, then you truly become recognized as one of the great units. Now, we've played some great football in stretches this year, and I expect us to continue to play even better in the second half of this year. But that's what it takes. And so is the front helping the pass defense? Absolutely. It goes hand in hand. I think the better coverage and the seasoned veterans in the back end, the safeties that are confident and the communicative, the Drew Coleman is a nickel, veteran guy that knows what he's doing. Look,
Dwight Lowry.
Yeah, but how about Derek Cox growing up?
Oh,
and he's,
wow.
And he's healthy. Yeah. So when he's healthy and he's on the field and he's grown up now, it's his third year, he's a better player. Rasheen's looks like he did, you know, 4 years ago. I mean, he's playing much better. So our football team is benefiting from everything, a combination of rush, coverage, veteran players in the back end, guys communicating, the chemistry going, linebackers attacking downhill, getting them in the third and long, getting off the field. And so when you're doing those things, you're playing good defense.
Did you see, since you talk about four or five interceptions, did you see any of the Chiefs game when they were out in Los Angeles? It was the Sunday before the Monday night game here. I don't know whether you had the red zone on or not, but the Chiefs had five interceptions that day. And that was a Chiefs team that was still trying to get their legs underneath them. They lost Eric Berry to injury, and their defense wasn't playing at a high level. Well, you saw them last night.
Yeah, they opened
that,
up.
That turned it over for
them.
Well,
they lost three in a row to open the year.
Yeah, and they were outscored something like 89 to 10
in the first two games. Yeah, and then they lost the third game. And then they won four in a row.
Yeah.
And it's a different situation. So
but that defense looks really good.
So it's a matter of where are you now, and right now they're feeling good about themselves, and they should. They had a big win last night.
But that day in particular is what I think, you know, when you get them all, when they all come your way, I think that was the turning point for them.
Sure.
I mean, it helps that John Baldwin goes up and, you know, makes a big catch last night, and now all of a sudden they feel like their offense has a dimension that it's been lacking. But that defense, I think, is what really got them going, because when they lost Eric Berry, every head was hanging in Kansas City.
Well, it helps that a once-in-a-million fumbled exchange occurred at the end of that ball game.
Yeah. but that's the spark, right?
That's, I mean, that's football.
Those are the things that happen that you look for that kind of get your thing going. And now their schedule looks like, you know, they feel like they've got a shot to take control of the division with what's happening in Los Angeles. Well, pardon me. Oakland. It's the Los Angeles Raiders. But
how about that beard, though, on Todd Haley? I'm loving it. Huh?
Really?
That's sweet.
Let's see you grow one.
No, I said it looks good on top.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab Michael in Atlantic Beach. Michael, you're up before our next break. Good evening.
And Michael.
I guess he's not. His question, though, it appeared that...
Who's number three?
Exactly. And when Blaine left the game the other day and Luke came in, the first thought in my head was, all right, who's number three in case something happens to Luke? Who is your third quarterback? It would have been Zach Miller last year, right?
Do you know what I was saying?
No, what were you saying?
I said, oh, darn.
Yeah.
I said, oh, shucks.
Can you run the single wing?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have run the ball a lot. Yeah.
No, we actually have a contingency plan, and we don't want to get to it.
Right.
But we have worked on it. We do understand, you know, how we would go about, you know, operating. So
and yeah. then when you choose to have two quarterbacks, you have to have that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, right. Michael, there's the answer to your question.
Yeah, we're not going to get into.
I was just going to say I didn't.
We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about it because right. if we do need to go to it, we're going to at least have the benefit of not having described what it is.
Right. A little surprise
to everybody else.
It's Joe Fortunato, isn't it?
It could be Joe, yeah, except we couldn't get him in the act of 45.
Yeah, no.
46.
Well, he's 53, so, yeah, you'd have a hard time with that.
I could take a snap, but after that, if I get hit, I break easily.
You're toast.
Yeah, done.
Toast.
Burnt Elvis
toast.
Patterson. 355-NFL-1. Let's take a break. More to come with the head coach on the Jack Del Rio Show, and you're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, rolling right along here with the head coach, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. You had your team today. You get your team tomorrow. What are you going to do on the bye weekend? You going to kick back and relax a little bit, or are you going to grind it?
No, we'll work a little bit.
Yeah.
But I will get to watch my daughters. You know, got regional playoffs going on this week.
Volleyball.
Bowl
school.
At the bowls. And then Luke is playing in a big game Friday night against Trinity. And then we're actually going up. He's going on an unofficial visit up to Bama for the.
Now, did he score the tickets as a recruit? Or?
Yeah, he's the guy.
All right.
He's letting me go with him.
All right. Boy, that's going
to
be.
He likes to say that, too. We were out at SC and over the summer, and he was there as a recruit and in their camp, and he was, hey, Dad, you know, you want to come with me to the baseball game? I can get you in.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, by the way, slide me a 20 so I can buy something, huh?
Right.
Dog, yeah. Pass that one here. I'd like a pretzel. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Special teams. We saw you make the move with Nick Harris and get Kasim and get Montel and some of those guys back. And really, it was a dominant performance against the Ravens here. I mean, you really controlled that. Last week, Jacoby Jones got free for a couple.
Yeah.
Why? What were the reasons why he was able to do something? Because before, there's been one return of more than 13 yards in a punt against you guys in the last 3 years, and
right.
then he got two at 19-plus.
That's right. Yeah.
What happened there?
Punt down the middle.
Okay.
For starters.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple missed tackles, a clip. And, you know, really, in that particular return – on top of that, it's like me being a little bit greedy for field position, you know, thinking, okay, we can pin him back even more.
Right.
And
he
really
booted the ball. Man, he kicked it
good, but it didn't have great hang. And the reality is I gave them a chance at a return that
– You mean as opposed to taking the 5 yards?
Yeah, take the five. And even if it's only 30-yard, 35-yard net, it's safe. And, you know
– The way your defense is playing, yeah.
I elected to be a little greedy going after more yards there, wanted to pin him back a little more. And it backfired. And so I end up answering that question because we didn't handle it. Now, the very next punt we had,
yeah,
we pinned him on the side. We had like a 50-yard net. You know, yeah. That's
what you wanted.
That's what I was looking for. And it just didn't work.
Five touchdowns in that game. And four of them came off short fields. Two your defense created, one at the 8 and one at the 26. By the way, Pot Roe showed his receiver hands stretching out. He had to go get that ball because it wasn't like Roth handed it to him.
No, he... We work on that all the time, and that was well executed.
Boy, Roth kind of looked like this. I heard someone compare him to LeBron James, kind of blindly throwing the ball back there, and Pot Roast didn't let it hit the ground.
No.
And then Session obviously got caught by, I can't think of his name.
Well, Pot Roast needed to pitch it back to Lowry.
Lowry was in trail.
And then Clint could have blocked, and we would have scored.
Yeah, Arian Foster was who got him, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Session would have crushed him.
Well, and then Lowry took the ball away from Tate, took it all the way back into what, like the 41-yard line in the Texans territory. You got the 15-yard penalty, and bang, you know, set up another touchdown.
Yes.
So it's good to see the defense with the takeaways too. I mean, when you look down the numbers of where you are from a year ago, a lot of them stand out. But first, from 30th to 7 in total defense. But the number of completions of 20 yards or plus is down.
Right.
Passer rating is down. Touchdown passes is down. You know, the takeaways is the one thing that you get those, and this defense really has something going.
Yeah, I mean, that's the last part of it. You want to limit people. You want to force them to punt, and then when they get tired of punting, then they start forcing the ball down the field, and you start taking the football away from them. So it's coming.
Did you think that Paul Posluszny would be as impactful as he has been? I mean, well, I know you thought he was a good player, but boy, he's playing at a high level.
That was the hope. I mean, that's why he was the first target out of the gate. I mean, really thought that he could fit in and be a great, great addition. He has been. Yeah. Obviously Clint is playing very well. He's explosive, playmaking linebacker. You're starting to see some of that. The two safeties and Drew Coleman. And then the other guy that was a great fight, there are two guys that were late additions, Matt Roth and John Chick.
Okay.
Those guys are great additions for us.
Yeah, missed Chick a little bit on Sunday. He's got that, burst off the edge.
We did miss
him. And who would have thought when he shows up the week of the opener that you'd miss him?
Yeah.
You know, but here he's become a player for you.
Yeah, he's a player. He's a hard-charging guy. His family's finally here with him. And
good for him.
And so I know he's excited about that.
By the way, we were looking at the depth chart. With Chick out and Matt not having made the flight because his wife was giving birth, boy, you would have had to juggle if you couldn't have gotten Roth there in time for the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, to Aaron. Yeah, look at the look on your face, right? Yeah, yeah, you really would have had to.
Yeah, we were thinking about that.
Yeah, that would have put you in a bind. Good thing you got
nothing
there.
Like Pittsburgh when Evan was down and Eugene was already down, and then
Cameron Bradfield has to step. Can Cameron play in just in case?
Yeah, he would. He'd play wherever we put him.
Yeah, he's a good.
It wouldn't be real pretty, but he
could
do it.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with the head coach here on the Jack Del Rio Show, and you're listening on Jaguars Radio. All right, Brian Sexton back with head coach Jack Del Rio. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. I'm going to put you on the hot seat, the hot light, give you the hard question.
Okay, go ahead.
Are the Texans a really chippy team, and do you now have kind of a Steelers thing going with them? When the Jaguars used to play the Steelers all the time, it got real chippy. When they used to play the Ravens all the time, it got real chippy. Now all of a sudden, it seems like the Texans were pushing back against a team that had a physical personality and a physical identity in the division. And I saw the tape. I saw Dwayne Brown nail Clint Session after he got tackled out of bounds. So, I mean, there was some of that.
No, I didn't see anything that was online at all.
We had an angle. Patrick Cavanaugh over at CBS 47 got an angle. Clint was tackled out of bounds. He's laying on his back. And Dwayne Brown's kind of getting up off of him. And then he turns and he belts him right in the chest.
Might want to send that to the commissioner.
Yeah, well, it's a good angle, and you see it, you go, oh, I guess these guys weren't just woofing about it. It was real. And so,
I don't pay a lot of attention to that, Brian. I really
don't. It's
just the game. Now, the commissioner might.
Well,
I mean, he's wanting to clean up the game. He's not wanting any of that.
Your arms were out like this.
I mean, defenseless. If somebody could get hurt, if they were just laying there, they were defenseless.
Yeah, no, he was defenseless. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, he had pads on, but
it doesn't apply just to receivers. I mean, it's anybody can be defenseless.
And I doubt you'll say this, but I'll ask you anyway. You had your hands like this after Cushing hit Gabbert, and an official, not White Hat, but an official came up and was explaining something to you. How do they explain when your quarterback gets hit that late how they missed it? That's the part that I thought was really interesting. Can you say anything, or do you risk a fine by me?
No, I could say a lot of things. Bottom line is, it's a bang bang play. They got to make a call.
But I thought that the call was always to protect the quarterback.
Well, the interpretation, the way I understand it, is that we're going to, as a league, error on the side of caution, which means anything close they're going to call. Which is
that wasn't even close.
I'm just saying that's the way it's been talked about, is that we're gonna. Now, I'm not a big fan of erring at all. See, I would prefer that if you're not sure that you don't call it.
Okay.
Keep that flag in your pocket.
Okay.
And then that way you're not interrupting games. You're not getting involved with games. So that's what I would prefer. And then the commissioner can fine the players if there's an offense.
Okay.
I would.
All right.
But but we don't like that, or the league doesn't like that, because it's hard as a commissioner to fine if there hasn't been a flag. It's like, well, wait a minute. First line of defense is, well, but that wasn't even flagged. Why would you find me? So to alleviate that, you have to err on the side of caution.
Right.
Well, so you could have erred there.
I thought so.
It was certainly within that, you know, you would want to err on the side of caution thing.
The guy that I talked about, having the – Patrick Kavanaugh is in the studio. I was talking about the piece of video that you had, Patrick, of the punch. Right. Do you have a good shot of the hit that that Cushing had on Gabbert?
I want the punch. We got to send the copy of that to the commish.
Okay. I'm asking. No, it's worth conversation. Okay, they're getting the Seabass Seafood, so we'll take a break and join them for just a moment.
Come back and talk to Dave.
Come back? Oh, Dave's in line. Hey, Dave. We'll be with you in a moment. The Jack Del Rio Show continues after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. And welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Season ticket holders get paid at the pump when you buy 10 gallons or more of Gate gasoline. Show your Jaguars reward card and receipt to the cashier for your coupon worth $2 in Jag Bucks, redeemable for game day concessions and merchandise. 355-NFL-1. Dave in St. Augustine as promised. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I guess I really just wanted to point out the fact that the difference between some of these wins and losses that we had, just like we've been talking about, have been a couple calls, have been a couple plays, have been a couple balls bouncing the wrong way, both good and bad. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear the, you know, you're sticking to it, you're working hard, you know, and things like that. But I think anybody looking at it objectively, you know, you got a rookie quarterback and there's going to be some growing pains, there's going to be some ups and downs, and we're going through that. But it's not like we haven't been in every game that we've played, okay? And, you know, people, everybody knows I'm a huge fan. Everybody comes to me and say, what do we need to do? We need to do this, we need to do that. You know, we just need to play better. And it's not all on the quarterback. It's not all on the coach. People don't like to say it because he's Maurice Jones-Drew, but Maurice Jones-Drew is putting the ball on the ground. I mean, one play makes a difference in you know, a loss of downs and stuff like that, you know? So, I mean, and coach, what I'm saying is I can see it. You know, we're right there, and I'm expecting and hoping and believing that, you know, we're going to take those steps. You know what I mean? I believe that we can because I know that we're right there. You know, it's Mercedes Lewis needs to step up his game. You know, people were talking about the way the ball is thrown. Man, he's been playing football his whole life. I don't care how the ball is being thrown to him. Catch the damn thing. Same with Maurice Jones-Drew. Same with, you know, Mike Sims-Walker and Jason Hill. Catch the damn ball. You know, we need to get a little bit more out of the return game. Desi Kareem, he needs to – you know, get some fire behind them. You know, I mean, it's easy to say we didn't get this call and we didn't get that call, but you know what? It goes both ways, and everybody knows that. So,
yep.
Coach, I'm expecting you. We need you. This game, this season is far from over. There's a lot of football to be played, and I'm hoping and I'm believing that you guys can. You know, it's not a huge turnaround that we need. It's not a 180. We just need to
2 millimeters.
Be more consistent in the little things. So,
That's right, Dave.
Good luck, Coach, and let's get it done.
All right, thank you very much.
That's your kind of call.
Well, a lot of passion. You can tell he's tuned in. He's watching very intently. Appreciate the call, bringing it like that. And let me just tell you something. He's speaking the truth in terms of it's my belief that we need those couple of millimeters. We don't need 180. That's my belief.
Right.
Okay. So, look, I'm gonna stick to my guns, and we're gonna stick to what we know is right. And hope that we are near that tipping point. So you can approach it a lot of different ways. And what I know is frustrated, crying like a baby, wringing your hands, pointing fingers, you know, pulling apart, not staying together, all those things, not fighting hard, not working hard, that doesn't work. So I've been a competitor all my life. I love it. I love the thought of having some type of dramatic turnaround, and I'm going to hang on to that. I mean, why not? Listen, this is the American way. The Cardinals,
you
don't think the Cardinals, I mean, barely making it in the playoffs?
10.5 games out to start September, right, Joe?
Yeah. They sneak their way in
beat
somehow.
The Phillies, who would have thought?
Yeah, then all of
best
a sudden, if they're down two in the bottom of the ninth, two strikes, two outs, again in the 10th, two, you know, come on. You got to fight. You got to keep trying, and that's where we are as a football team. And when we get that spark and we get things rolling, people like Dave are really going to appreciate it. So
Appreciate the call, Dave.
Yep, thank you.
355-NFL-1. Before we take this break, let me ask you about one guy in particular, because I think he's played well, and he played hurt last week in Houston, and that's Will Rackley. Did a good job on Haloti Ngata. How do you see him progressing? Now, we're talking about a guy from Lehigh making a position switch. He hasn't been completely healthy with his hands, we've learned, in the last week or so. So where is he, and what is he capable of being this year for you?
Well, even better. All right, young player. Who's already, like Blaine, had a full college season's worth of work. So he's going into a sophomore year now for us, so he's no longer a young player. He's got some injury things that he's been working through with his hands, with his ankle and whatnot. But to me, when a guy gets banged the way he did, has a high ankle sprain, tells the doctor to put a little tape on it, goes back in the game and finishes and plays like he did, there's something there. And I respect that, and I appreciate that. That's a good foundation to start with. He's got some athleticism. He's going to grow. He'll add strength. He'll gain experience. He'll be a better player in time. But right now, he's fighting his butt off for us, and I appreciate that.
All right, Coach. We appreciate you. Know you got to get back across the hall. We will come back and wrap up the Jack Del Rio Show after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Nothing to report with respect to a broadcast this weekend. No Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Show. No Suddeth pregame show. No Aetna halftime show. No Winn-Dixie postgame show. No Southern Ford Dealer scoreboard show. I, like many of you, hope to be.
You got all the sponsors. Without a game, how cool is that?
In a subtle way, you know, you take care of the sponsors. The sponsors take care of us, right? And should I mention that Pat
Seabest
and Tony have just destroyed the Seabest? So if you're in the building and you wanted any of it, there's no shot of it now. The Seabest will be in the Pepsi Pavilion, though, when we get home, which is going to seem like a long time by the time we finally get back here on November the 27th. Here's the thing, and I probably said this last year, the red zone is a killer. If you haven't seen it, you got to have it. You got to sit there and just walk. You don't have to have the sound on, but you feel like you've seen every single game played that day. Joe, have you seen it? Have you had a chance to sit in front of it? It's the best.
Monday night game. That Sunday is amazing.
I don't know how they sell that to their network partners.
Well, they're killing themselves.
Well, I mean, but I didn't turn on, at no point did I turn on a channel and just sit and watch that one channel all day long. Give me the shot of the red zone. I'm sitting there. Of course, I thought the same thing with the DirecTV package.
See, that's the job. That would be a cool job to have, to be the guy that sits there and just throws it from game to game.
Well, you'd be tired at the end of the day, man.
It's all right.
Be tired because you just keep moving left and right. I like to be the guy who sits on the couch and watches it. That's the job that I want. And I hope to have that one on Sunday. And there's some games.
You got kids. Forget it.
You know, I mean, occasionally I find a way to pawn them off on other people and manage to see it.
I'm marking this. I'm going to make a promo out of it.
What are you doing Sunday?
Brian Sexton pawns his kids off.
What are you doing Sunday, Joe? You like kids?
I have no idea.
Nice.
Yeah, three boys, absolutely. You know, they could rake your lawn and then they destroy your house, but that's how it happens. All right, folks, so we're going to sign off here. For those of you in Jacksonville tomorrow night, Jaguars this week, and then we'll be back with a full slate of programming starting next Monday night with the Gene Smith Show, Jack Del Rio Show, the whole nine yards. Enjoy the bye week. 2-6 is no fun, but there's 8 games left to play. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.